say, I thank the Lord for what? What is it that you're thankful? I mean, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, all that kind of stuff. My salvation, yeah. What is it? Fit it in.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Those that are here and those that are past.
That's right. What are you thankful for? I mean, really, just, come on, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. What are you thankful for? Children.
I'm thankful for grace.
Grace. Grace, grace. God's grace. What? Yeah. Patience. God's patience. Bob?
Blessings.
Whatever they may be. However you can measure that. Yeah. You know, I'm thankful for some, you know, at this particular point, I'm kind of thankful that it's dry. And I'm not trying to be trite with that, but seriously, sometimes, you know, but then again, I'm thankful that it's wet because, you know, it does its benefit as well. Thankful. The story goes, I read, or I actually quote, that the story goes, as a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with a lifelong blindness. And this woman, quote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank God for His purpose." Speaking about meeting the doctor, Fanny Crosby said, and I quote again, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you. Thank you over and over again for making me blind. For 95 years, this woman saw probably what most of us miss, even through her physical blindness. And yet she said, thank you, Lord, for making me blind." I thought it would be appropriate as we have finished our study in Nehemiah, I thought it would be good for us to just segue into the season just for a moment and just speak about and study just for a moment about an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Talking just a little bit before our time together and our worship, we were just discussing about some issues, some cultural issues, some things that you and I as a nation are dealing with. You know, you turn your television on if you watch TV, or you turn to one of these newscasting programs like one of the major networks has, and blanketed all over are issues that we deal with. And some of those issues you begin to wonder as you sit back and you listen to the commentators, you listen to those that are involved in the issues that are all around us, whatever they might be, and you wonder, are you really thankful for anything that's come your way? College students out in Missouri that have revolted over the presidential, quote, racial statements and things that were said. And you wonder, my stars, here is a, your parents have probably, through blood, sweat, and tears, are providing this education for you, and all you can do is just stamp your angry little feet and hold your breath till you turn blue and point your bony finger at somebody and say, it's not fair. Well, what's happened to thankfulness? I want to invite you to look at two passages of Scripture. You can see one of them. They're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And I want you to make sure that you look at this, because this is a very important verse of Scripture and very important statement. This is a very important letter. We attribute the Apostle Paul of writing 13 of our New Testament letters. It would be 14 if you believe that he wrote the book of Hebrews. But at least we know that his authorship is, and his pen on the signature of, 13 of our New Testament letters. 2 Timothy is the last of his letters. I mean, the next thing is the gallows. I mean, his life is going to be taken from him as a result of of his life. And now he's writing this 13th and final letter, and I want you to look at what he says in this, because he's talking about the last days, and he says that in these last days, perilous times shall come. Now watch what he says in verse 2 about the last days. He says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Watch this. They're going to be boastful. They will be arrogant. They're going to be revilers. They're going to be disobedient to parents. And then all of a sudden, he says, and they will be ungrateful in the last days. Now, I don't know about you guys, but Marilyn and I have been in discussion, and we've been in some discussions, and we begin to sort of look at the signs of the times. You begin to hear what's happening. You wonder if prophecy is just being unfolded right before our very eyes. And you begin to wonder, are we in the last days? Well, this would be an indication. And I'm not trying to set any time schedules and put anything on the calendar. But have you heard, have you seen the ungratefulness of our society? I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what is happening all around us. And you say, well, no, David, that's just a cultural shift. That's just the swing of what society has taught us. Well, you may have a point there, but I'm going to stand on what God says, too. And I think that there is something that's happening to our culture and happening to our society. And help us, dear Lord Jesus, that it doesn't infiltrate the church and that we become an ungrateful people. But then again, that's the attitude of gratitude. Now, that was the last thing that the Apostle Paul was saying to us and to those that were followers in his time. Now I want to show you the first thing that he said. So you'll have to turn back a page or two to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, this is the first letter. This was his very first letter. And so the ingredients or the content of 1 Thessalonians were the very first things that the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to those believers in Thessalonica. This is the very first letter that he wrote. Now listen to what he says in verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All right. Now, let's just, I'm going to give you six sort of little things to hang on. You've got a little study note thing there in your worship bulletin. If you want to use it, you're more than welcome to. You're not under no obligation to, but if you'd like to, you can fill in the blank. I'm going to give you six little principles about a person or a heart of gratitude. But before I get to that point, let me just ask you this question. You do not have to stand. Do not have to raise your hand. You don't have to say, you don't have to do anything. Just sit there, absorb it, but think about this very thing. Are you thankful? Am I thankful? Are we thankful for everything? That's what he said. Now, remember just earlier I said we need to do the book? We need to do the book. So that means if we're going to do the book, that, and by the way, I trust that as God will encourage my heart in that very statement, that you'll hear that a lot. I think that's going to be my new statement. Raise that flag, and I really believe that that's going to be so important in these days, because I think it's so important for these days that we do the book. All right, if we're going to do the book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks." In everything. Oh no, hold time out, preacher. What? No, he was, of course, not saying. No, he was saying, in everything. That's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God coming through the pen of the Apostle Paul under God's inspiration. And he wrote down in verse 18, as we have it in our English Bibles, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Everything. Do you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to give thanks for da-da-da-da-da and this, that, and the other? And when that didn't work? And when that person said, and this, and all? That's what the Bible says. Do the book. Do the book. Now, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that we are to give thanks. And I hope that some of this little study that we have together, which could really be a series. By the way, this is one of the disciplines. I'm serious. This is one of the disciplines of our Christian journey, is to be a thankful people. I mean, Alan just moments ago said, I'm thankful for my salvation. Scott said just moments ago, I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for children. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for that bypass surgery? Are you thankful for that phone call that you got about one of your children saying, I think my marriage is over? Are you thankful for the fact that you've got too much month at the end of the money and you don't know how you're going to make it? Now, come on. We got to do the book. We got to do the book God's way, not our way. See, we qualify our Thanksgiving. Yeah, I've said this statement. As a matter of fact, I believe I've probably even said it here. But let me just say it one more time, just as a reminder. I don't want it to become old news, but let me just say it again. You know, I don't really believe that you and I have the right to say, "Why, God?" when everything is going wrong. I don't think we have the right to say, "Why, God?" when everything is going right, until we turn that thing around and say, "Why, God?" when everything is going right. You get that? Boy, we're good at, "Wow, look at all the stuff that I've got and all these blessings in my life." And I'm with you, Bob. I agree with you, brother. I'm thankful for the blessings of life as well, just like you said just a moment ago. I am, but am I also thankful for the trials and the challenges and the things that come into my life that I go, "Whoa, what happened here? What is this all about?" Am I thankful for that moment? Now, we run from that. We don't want that. We don't need that. We do need a grateful heart. And so I want to give you some things. I got something poking at me right here, so forgive me for just a moment. There's a little needle in here, so I'm not going to do this. Ah. See, there's a, look at this. I don't know what it is. Pardon me just a moment while I, okay, there it is. All right. Principle number one, gratitude. Gratitude. A grateful person is a humble person. A grateful person is a humble person. Did you you remember what we just read as to Paul's observation under the Spirit's leadership about the last days? If you'll read this litany of things all the way through, from verse 1 all the way through verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find out that there's very little humility in any of those. Very little humility. As a matter of fact, it really is more directed to self. But specifically, I want you to look at verse 2 again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll turn back there just for a moment, where it says that men will be arrogant, they will be boastful, they will be unthankful or ungrateful. And there's no humility there. You know what God does with pride? You know God's description of pride? You know what God's response to pride is? In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, the Bible says there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to Him, a proud look. That's what God hates. Isn't that strange? You read in your Bible, you think, "Oh, He's just a God of love. Love, love, love." But you know God hates something? And He hates pride. It's the opposite of humility. And you know what God does? He says that he gives grace to the humble, but He gives destruction to the proud. And a grateful heart, the grateful person, is a person with a humble heart, a humble life. Henry Ward Beecher made this comment, who was a preacher of years gone by. He said that a proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. It's all about me. And I want for me. See, that's not humility. And so the grateful person is a humble person. Number two, a grateful heart is conscious of God and others. The grateful heart is conscious of God and others. Now, why should we be grateful to God? Now, hold on. Be careful, because I think a lot of times this is where we get sort of screwed with God. Why should we be grateful to God? Ultimately, why am I grateful to God? Because He gives eternal things. He sets my course and my path for eternity. God is more important about the eternal things than He is the temporary things of life. Now, I'm not trying to discount the temporary things, because that's next. But we focus our gratefulness and our attention on God because that He gives us the eternal things. Think about this just for a moment. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Why? God is concerned about eternal things. We need to have that same heart, that same mindset. So let's do the book. Let's be concerned and be passionate and grateful for the things that God gives us, and that's eternal things. But secondly, there's also that you and I should have a grateful heart, as it focuses attention not only on God, but on others, because others give us earthly things. Somewhere along the way, there have been earthly things that have been under the orchestration of a sovereign God. His divine plan, His sovereign genius has come into play, and He has put it into the heart of others to then provide for us the things that we should be grateful for here on earth. Let me give you an example of that. If you at one time in your life worked a job somewhere in the genius of God, that job came as a result of His sovereign plan through the instrumentation of other people. Hey, just a moment ago, Ann said, hey, I'm thankful for life. Well, guess what? Did you know that life came through the earthly instrumentation of a husband and a wife coming together, being one, and bringing about the germination of a seed, and that seed germinated and grew for 9 months, and bingo, there you are. Somebody had something to do with that blessing that came into your life along the way with God's orchestration. So, the grateful heart focuses its attention, it's conscious about God and others being involved. I think what we need to acquire what I call the Cratchit syndrome. The Cratchit. Now this is new. This is brand new stuff. No one has ever invented this. No one has ever thought about this. The Cratchit syndrome. Y'all have any idea where I'm headed on this? Huh? Bob Cratchit. Anybody remember who Bob Cratchit is? Does anybody know who Bob Cratchit is? Y'all are looking at me like cows out in the pasture, like, moo? With a question mark? No. Bob Cratchit was the employee of a fictitious figure placed on paper by a great author and writer by the name of Charles Dickens in a story entitled The Christmas Carol. Bob Cratchit was his apprentice, accountant. And yet Bob Cratchit, if you remember, was horribly, horribly taken care of by Ebenezer Scrooge. And have y'all ever seen a movie or a play, or have you read the book, or do you know where I'm headed? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Just this means yes. This means no. Because I'm still looking at cows in the pasture. No. Just kidding. Bob Cratchit was horribly taken care of by Ebenezer Scrooge. And yet, if you remember, on certain scenes or in a certain part of the play or the book, as his wife and or as his children would respond, Daddy, why are you being so sweet and kind? Why are you being so benevolent to this skinflint by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge? And yet he had this grateful heart for what he had. 15 shillings. A miserly amount of money for all the work that Bob Cratchit would put forth. But yet he had a grateful heart. So you know what? We need to do the book. We need to be thankful in what? Everything. Number 3. A grateful heart is a full heart. A full heart. And I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible for a moment to Philippians chapter 4. I pulled out my Philippians study the other day and started looking through it and thinking and praying if God would give us opportunity in the first of the year to maybe start going through a book of the Bible. The New Testament book of Philippians has really kind of captured my heart. Great book. You know what it's all about? Joy. And my stars, when you and I are just getting buried with ISIS and the conflictive terrorism activity and the newscast is something we want to turn off and just run from, and the world around us is exploding and going spinning out in orbit and all this kind of stuff, and we're losing our joy, we're losing our hope, our seem like our, the excitement of life and living, and maybe we need to go back and find out what Paul is doing. But anyway, that may be for another opportunity. But in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15, I want you to see this grateful heart that is full. Full. It says in beginning at verse 15, But you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Now, verse 18 is kind of the key verse. You still there? Philippians 4, verse 18. He says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And I want to make sure that you hear verse 19 as well. Boy, this is so important. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to look at verse 19 again, even though verse 18 is kind of the key, because he talks about the fullness of his heart. I mean, my stars, did you hear all that grateful attitude, that thanksgiving that he'd been expressing? And all of a sudden he said, man, I've got everything. I am full to the brim. I'm bubbling over. And then verse 19. Where did it really come from? Where was the foundation of all of that giftedness and all of that supply coming from? He says, and my God will supply all your need. Did you hear that? You want to do the book? And you've got to trust God to supply all your need. It's tough. Yes, and sometimes it's tough when you're just kind of like the guy that fell over the cliff and he's hanging on by a root that's just he's growing out from the cliff, but he's hanging on. And, I mean, it's a certain death. It's hundreds and hundreds of feet down, and he's holding on by this root, and he's looking down, and he's looking up, and there's no hope at all, and he's crying out, help! Help! Is anybody out there? Help! And then all of a sudden, after moments of desperation, a voice comes over the cliff. I'm here. I'll help you. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Just let go. Just let go. Is there anybody else up there? Ever felt like that? Yeah. Well, guess what? I think sometimes we need to get out of the realm of what we call reality into the arena of faith. I mean, in the truest sense of the word. Folks, let's just do the book. He says, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will come through in His time according to His plan. And so, therefore, we need to have a grateful heart that is full. Let's just do the book. Number four, we invite you to turn to Luke chapter 17 just for a moment. Luke chapter 17. That's the third gospel. By the way, one of the only Gentiles that has ever written in the Bible is this physician by the name of Luke. He was a Gentile. He was a medical physician. And I believe he wrote the gospel of Luke. I believe he wrote the book of Acts and perhaps even might have penned the words of the book of Hebrews. But that's just my opinion. Anyway, number four, a grateful heart is a contented heart. Beginning at verse 12 of Luke chapter 17. The Bible says that Jesus entered a village and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now, they were doing all the right things. And as a matter of fact, verse 13 says, they raised their voice from this distance saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Boy, those are three things that are so important. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's a great little study right there. Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And Jesus was being a good rabbi, teacher. He was being true to the Bible. He was telling them to do the book. And so they were supposed to do the book according to the book of Leviticus. They were supposed to go and they showed themselves to the priest. And the Bible says, as they were going, they were cleansed. Boy, I wish I could park on this for a while, but let's just go on. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell, watch this, here's verse 16, which I think is the key. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I don't have time to develop that. I wish I did, because there's so much stuff there, so colorful in that regard. But did you notice what he did? He turned back, having experienced this wonderful healing of this cancerous, flesh-eating death that was all around him, and he was thrilled. He was thankful. By the way, did you know that 155 times in all of your Bible, somewhere thereabouts, 155 times from your Old and New Testament, did you know the word thanks or thank or thanksgiving or thankful? I mean, in all those, about 155 times that word or that thought is being used all the way through the Bible. It's a very prolific word that we should be using and being conscious of. A theologian of years ago by the name of A.W. Tozier once said that the heart that is constantly overflowing with gratitude will be safe from those attacks of resentfulness and gloom that bother so many religious people. That's what happens oftentimes. We're not doing the book. Matthew Henry said, "Thanksgiving is a proper answer to dark and disquieting thoughts and may be an effectual means to silence them. Songs of praise are sovereign cordial to drooping souls and will help to cure melancholy. When we have no other answer to the suggestions of grief and fear, we may have this recourse. I thank Thee, O Father." And going back to Fanny Crosby that I began with, listen to this as a child. This poem that she wrote as a child. "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh, because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." You're talking about contentment in the midst of all of the tragedy of her life, and yet she realized that she wasn't in control. It wasn't hers to be in control. It was God's will and God's way. Let me give you a fifth sense of being grateful, and that the grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by thankful words. The grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by grateful words. Paul, is there a way that you could put up that scripture reference and that scripture that we read just a moment ago? Would there be a way that you could go back and just put up Colossians for just a moment? Okay? It's all right? Colossians, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians again. Okay, here you go. Look at this. Okay. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing," that's speaking, "expressing to one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual song with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word," there's your expression, there's your revelation, "in word or deed through your life, through the pluses and the minuses, the positives and the negatives as we would interpret them, and whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him." You see, that's a revelation. That's an expression. When people see that, you know, the bottom has, you know, come out and you're going through the difficulties, what do they hear from us? What do they see in us? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, listen to this. "Be anxious for nothing." That's a good scripture reference, by the way. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And what's this? "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so maybe I should ask this question. I ask it of myself. I seriously ask this of myself. What are people seeing in David? What are people hearing from David? Am I going to moan and groan just like the world all around me because this is not happening, that's not happening? It shouldn't have gone this way. It should have gone that way. Is that what they hear and see in me? So the grateful heart will be revealed and expressed by thankful words. There's in Ephesians chapter 5, there's just one other scripture thought here. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18, listen to what the Bible says. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. Always. Everything. You say, well, David, you don't understand my circumstance. No, you and I don't understand God. We put God on the shelf, and we want to have our pity party. And we want to put our little lower lip out, and we want to feel sorry for us. And we think that we have the right to, because life has just dealt me a bunch of junk. And I just don't think this is fair. Really? Did you know God wants to take, perhaps God wants to take the situations in our lives, with our families, with the circumstances, whatever it might be, He wants to teach us some very important lessons of how to simply look back to heaven and say, thank you. Thank you that I'm going through this sickness, because somewhere along the way, you're going to use this in my life to touch somebody else's life. But no, what do? We moan and groan, in fact, and I do the same thing, guys. I'm right here with us. We moan and groan about the fact that we're in the hospital, and then we're in a hospital bed now. Why me? And why now? And why this? And why here? And instead of saying, dear God, I really don't understand this. It's hard for me to comprehend. It's hard for me to understand why this is happening in my life. But I'm going to thank you for it. And then all of a sudden, here comes a little orderly. Now it's time to give you a bedpan. It's time to clean up the sheets. May I mop the room? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God says, now, this is it. I put you in this bed for this reason. Really? I got this knee that's being replaced. Got this hip that's having surgery. Yeah, that's it. Now, here she comes. That's her. That's the one. Just say it. And then you turn and say, we haven't met. My name's David. Well, my name's LaVon. Well, LaVon, it's nice to meet you. I've just been sitting here kind of looking up to heaven because that's the only direction I can look. And now I got to thinking about why I'm in this bed and why God put me in this bed. And, you know, LaVon, I think it's for you. And all of a sudden she puts the mop back down. She says, can I sit? She pulls up a chair. She begins to tell you her story. And there's the divine moment. But we miss that. So often we miss that because give thanks with a grateful heart. There's one final thing, number 6. One final thing. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is kind of the key verse, but I want you to see that a grateful heart is refreshing and life-giving. The grateful heart is refreshing and life-giving. Proverbs chapter 4, but I want you to begin looking at verse 20 if you are there. By the way, let me encourage you. Hey, January's on the way. If you're not reading anywhere in particular, get your Bible. You should give yourself a Bible for Christmas. Get you a good Bible. Start reading a proverb a day. There's 31 days in January. You get through the entire book of Proverbs in the month of January. In verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4, listen to what the Bible says. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. In other words, you know what he's saying? Do the book. Do the book. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Watch. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. There used to be an old piece of terminology used long ago about computers, especially when they first came in, when we were first getting oriented to the computerization of our world. Garbage in, garbage out. Do you know that's true not only with computers, but that's true with me, and that's true with you? And so what would be the best thing? Well, let's just put God's precious word in, so God's precious word will then come out. And if I put a grateful heart in, then I will express a grateful heart. And it'll be refreshing. Oh, I love to get around people that are just full of it. And I mean in the truest sense of the word. In the positive, in the truest sense of the word. I mean, they're just full, overflowing, refreshing, life-giving. It's just wonderful to be around them. I read a little poem about Thanksgiving that a little boy put together. And you can tell it's a little boy because of just the character and the nature. But it was simply entitled, I'm Thankful. And it goes like this. I'm thankful for my baseball bat. I cracked it yesterday. I'm thankful for my checker set. I haven't learned to play. I'm thankful for my mittens. One is missing in the snow. I'm thankful for my hamsters. They escaped a month ago. I'm thankful for my basketball. It sprung another leak. I'm thankful for my parakeet. It bit me twice last week. I'm thankful for my bicycle. I crashed into a tree. I'm thankful for my rollerblades. I fell and scraped my knee. I'm thankful for my model plane. It's short a dozen parts. I'm thankful for my target game. I'm sure I'll find the darts. I'm thankful for my bathing suit. It came off in the river. I'm thankful for so many things, except, of course, for liver. Out of the mouths of babes, oftentimes, we hear the thankful attitude of children. What's happened to us as we've grown up as big children? And what has happened to that attitude of gratitude that is so important? It's so important across the world as we say, as we thank God for the nations of the world, but equally it needs to be an attitude of gratitude as we look across the room at someone that's in our life. Perfect? No. On the path? Yeah. Broken in pieces sometimes? Yeah. But we need to have an attitude of gratitude. I pray that we'll do the book in that regard. You know, there's a faithfulness, however, and a gratitude that we should express to a faithful God. And I want to invite you just for a moment. And this is going to be our invitation. This is our invitation. Perhaps God has moved upon your heart to make a certain decision today. You're thankful for His grace and His salvation has already been expressed. And you know that it's come down your path and it's touched your heart. And you want to express your love and your commitment to the God who has given everything that you and I could be thankful for. And so today is the day that you want to say yes. I say yes to Jesus to be Savior and Lord of my life. Maybe that's a decision that you need to make. A very thankful decision, by the way. Maybe as we would open up the opportunity for you to be a part of this church officially, not only just guests and visiting along the way, but now you say, you know, I believe that this is a church that God has moved upon my heart, warmed me to this fellowship, and I want to be part of this. This is going to be a moment, a very quiet moment, a very tender moment that we're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you just really have really struggled with having a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude. Maybe you just need to sit there quietly. And you're going to listen to a song as we bow our heads and close our eyes in just a moment. You're going to listen to a song. It's a live production, so don't let the applause and the hooting and hollering distract you, because if you do that, then you'll miss what you should be thankful for in this song. So with that having said, this is also a moment to move out, if that's the way God moves upon your heart. But I want to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. And quietly, if you'll listen to a song of a faithful God, a God that has done everything possible to make this moment come into your life. I want to ask you now to just listen, perhaps even make that decision for Him today.
Thy compassion, they fill.